are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents and students worldwide.
We help teachers thrive and survive with classroom ideas, cutting-edge school resources and research-informed teacher training materials. You will also hear discussions on the policy, guidance and research-based publications.
2018 marked the centenary of some woman winning the right to vote in the UK. At Teacher Toolkit, we commemorate the anniversary by interviewing 100 women working in the field of education or in the public eye in order to catalogue their lives, celebrate their successes, and find out what challenges they face and discover what they would like to pass on to the next generation.
This podcast is sponsored by ABM and the Junior Engineering Engagement Programme, JEEP. In this podcast, we'll be discussing how ABM, an international facilities management company, is supporting young people into alternative careers and apprenticeships in facilities management.
Hello, everyone. This is Ross from Teacher Talk at the most influential blog on education in the UK. Today, I'm interviewing Justine Salmon from ABM. Justine, good morning.
Morning. Hello, Ross.
Can you tell us, first of all, what ABM is to our listeners?
So we're an international facilities management company looking after various buildings across the UK and United States. We've got about 1,500 locations in the UK, including shopping centres, airports and commercial locations. So,
are any schools or colleges included in your remit?
We look after student accommodation, so we've got a large portfolio of student accommodation, which is really interesting and challenging.
Yeah, yes. Any particular ones in the UK that we'd know of?
So we're in the major university cities, you know, everything from St Andrews, Aberdeen, all the way down to Falmouth and everything in between.
Right, so, fantastic. Yes. I guess you get to visit lots of those places.
Yes, we do. So, there's some really lovely, interesting places to visit around the university, well, across the UK in general, yeah. But university towns tend to be generally quite interesting and fun places to be.
So can I just unpick how you ended up in this role? Can I take you back to your time at school yourself? Could you describe to listeners your own education background?
Educationally, I just went through normal primary school education and then on to actually an all-girls school. Following that, I joined the Metropolitan Police and on the civil service, and they put me through further education as well. So that was quite interesting. Then I took a career break to bring up my two daughters.
Yeah.
And it's following that I actually went into FM. So it was quite by accident, to be honest with you, that I started into FM. It was just a pure chance meeting, I think, really, is the way to describe it best.
And so what point did you, your police career? I've got a couple of brothers who were in the police. What was that like in that period of your career?
I was extremely sort of young then. It was literally from school at the age of 16. They took us on, crikey, going to show the my age now, was like a YTS scheme, which was a kind of apprentice scheme at the time, which took young people and gave them a career and an education at the same time. So I was really, really lucky to be enrolled on that scheme locally. From there, you know, I did some various qualifications with the police. Once the children were born, I wanted to give all that up and concentrate on bringing them up. It was probably in 2002 that I actually went back into full-time employment and started my FM career.
Okay. And so could you describe a typical working week for us, please, if that's possible?
Oh, not really.
Right, okay.
It all changes on the spin of a coin.
So what's on your current to-do list then, for example?
So, for example, today, once I've finished today, I will be finishing my monthly report because I have to get that in for the 15th. So that will include everything that's happened in my world over the last month, which I have to report back to my seniors. And I collect that information from various people within my sector, and they give me different bits of information and I just collate it all and I submit that.
And what kind of things are you reporting on? Finances, headcounts?
So Yeah, finances, people, how, you know, what various people are doing within my sector, you know, whether they're in the middle of qualifications and how that's going, how they're doing in various training, if I've got a mentor, how they're doing. So the people is one, and any new employees and bits and pieces along them lines. Health and safety, I have to report on health and safety. So if there's been any incidents, report on them, which we have had none. So that's always good and what we're always looking for. I'll also, finance is obviously high up on the agenda, but then it's compliance and how we're doing within compliance within buildings.
Okay.
And then finally, just there's always a bit about how our customers feel and customer satisfaction and, you know, what customer visits we've done that month and how they're feeling and any customer surveys we've carried out. So
there's lots of kind of, it sounds like there's lots of kind of due diligence type processes to follow.
I mean, you know, our aim is always to have 100% compliance, so making sure our buildings are working.
So let's go into this very interesting program that ABM have launched, JEEP program, which has a great name, but it stands for Junior Engineering Engagement Program for all our listeners. Could you tell us a little bit more about just the headlines?
Okay, so JEEP started initially because, you know, we was aware that there is a skills gap within our industry. And there was a lack of awareness as well around apprentices and, you know, what they could actually offer us in being, you know, a successful career. You can actually earn while you learn, as I did as well.
Right.
And then, you know, you actually graduate and finish your apprenticeship without any debt, hopefully.
Yeah,
so
that'd be nice.
You know, coming out of university or finishing your education with no debt was a big positive for, you know, bigging up apprentices. So, and as I say, the other thing that sort of brought us onto it was some research that ABM commissioned with CensusWide back in 2018. It was found that actually there was 36% of parents that didn't actually know what an apprentice was and what it could offer. So we started off by going to three West London schools, and there was around 36 students enrolled at the time. And that was really successful, that programme. And this year we've actually gone out to 9 schools in the UK, and we've got Leeds, Bradford, Manchester and London. And over 250 students were enrolled this year. So really,
the impact
really
is that kids are signing up and parents are more aware.
Yeah, basically.
So what kind of topics are covered in all the different modules?
Okay, so there's 4-day sessions within the modules. And we cover things like from motors, circuits, magnets, electricity, theory of FM, engineering, cooling, heating, ventilation, bits and pieces like that. Sustainability is always a theme that runs right throughout the all of the modules. And the final project, the students, and this is always an interesting one, the students have to give a presentation on how they can make their school more sustainable. So that's always good fun, helping them with the presentations and listening.
If I put you in a corner and if you think of all the kids that you've employed in your career that come and they lack those skills, what does the JEEP programme, what kind of skills does it address and how does it close the gap?
Okay, well, I think before you even get to addressing the skills, it's giving them an awareness and an understanding of an alternative and what engineering can actually do for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, to close the gap with the skills, it's about showing them how problem solving and teaching them problem solving skills, bits and pieces around that, and processes and how they can follow certain processes that can make something happen. So I think through the experiments and bits and pieces that we put in, if they follow a certain process, and that's a lot around FM and problem solving and how we can make buildings sustainable. We look at a building and we see how it's working within the environment and what we can do to change that.
Mm-hmm.
So by teaching the children to follow a certain process within their experiments, I think is one of the key skills that we do teach them.
And do you see how does the gender divide in terms of your engagement? How does that pan out?
Okay, so it's really quite interesting that when you see it at the age group of sort of 11 to 12 year olds and the difference between the girls and the boys there and how it goes on through the years. But I believe that there has been a perception that there is a certain roles that are suited to specific gender. And in the FM and engineering industry, we want to change this. Uh-huh. And, that's something that I've been passionate about over the years, is engaging with them.
Where do you think these perceptions come from?
Just history, I suppose, over the years. Yeah. And, people tend to think that engineering is all about dirty, oily rags and, men in overalls and things. And it's so not. And, I was at this local school last week in West London, and just talking to them and saying there's so much more to FM and engineering than meets the eye. And it's getting people to understand that it isn't all just about getting, dirty fingernails and things. There's so much more to them.
So do you think the perceptions of FM is changing in terms of gender?
Absolutely. In a recent survey of the 11 to 16-year-olds, there was 68% of them believed that, that a certain roles were not gender-specific. So, that's a statistic that is really encouraging to the FM industry that, that perception is actually changing.
So what does the teacher pack include for schools and what's its purpose?
Okay, so the teacher pack is how it all started was because obviously budgets came into this as well, and we had to look at how we could actually make this scalable.
Yeah.
So what we did was we wanted to make it accessible to teachers across the UK by creating the teacher pack. The pack includes lessons, plans, as presentations, equipment lists, and also student workbooks.
Yeah.
It's available to download from the Jeep site and also through the Times Education supplement website, and plus the Teach Toolkit site. So that's really good news for teachers, because it's really engaging. It's full of pictures and experiments for the children, and it's comprehensive so the teachers can implement the programme in their schools with sort of little or no preparation on from their side, which is always a plus for a teacher.
No, absolutely. These modules, saving people's time, what could you describe maybe a particular module? So I'm looking at now you've got the sustainability model or the electrics one. So inside you've got lesson plans, worksheets for teachers.
Yeah, there's lesson plans, there's worksheet for teachers, there's workbooks for the children, there's guidance for the teachers, and then they talk them through the different experiments and think bits and pieces they can do as well. So, just things like how you're going to get tomato sauce off of plate in the best way, which is always a good one because they seem to love playing with tomato sauce.
And I'm assuming these have been designed by people in your own industry, some teachers, parents, kids' feedback, those types of things.
Yes, it was from the pilot scheme, really, how we could reach out, to the wider community.
So what's the future of Jeep?
Okay, so, the main goal would be to see these students come through as apprentices in a couple of years.
Yeah.
And we'd love to see our teacher packs being used across the UK.
And could you give me just a ballpark figure of number of schools, colleges or kids taking part currently?
Currently, we've got 9 schools and 250 children enrolled. We're just over 250 children. Okay. So.
Well, we should definitely be able to double that, I think, the next month alone. Fingers crossed for September we can get this rolled out and shout about it and get more people involved. I know schools particularly, with a very narrow curriculum and a very busy time, so it's very hard to get kids involved. But often teachers are time poor and they lack the awareness. So I think these types of initiatives are really helpful and I guess save teachers that thinking time. If you can just plug and play a particular resource like this, it'd be great. So Justine, what if, with your background, with your remit in your current role and this initiative, without leading you to an answer, I suppose, what's the one thing you'd like to see change in education?
I'd like to see the perception of apprentices change, really, and through Jeep and opening the opportunities to alternative careers so that, Jeep would influence children to look at alternatives, to have some form of GEBA as part of the actual curriculum, so that the students had an alternative to look for and got them excited about, you know, a career in engineering or FM. So it's vast FM, you know, and it isn't just about engineering. There's all sorts of, you know, the back office that comes in with it, finance. So there's, you know, it isn't just about engineering within FM. There's so much. It's such a wide career sector that it would be really nice to have something within the curriculum along these lines.
If I take you back to your time in your YTS and the police, do you think that came at the right time, or do you think it was a bit too late in your school life?
I guess it was probably a little bit too late. I don't think I really knew or had an idea of at the time of where I wanted to go. And I don't really think, I'm afraid we did needle work and home economics and things like that. It was an all-girls school, so probably slightly different today. I think I probably would have benefited from starting a better understanding at a younger age of what was available to me.
Yeah, I mean, my own experience was work experience in kind of year 10, so 14 years old. Broadly been like this in schools still today for many kids, but I think slowly these types of initiatives are starting to kind of ebb into kind of year 6 primary school, but certainly not commonplace. I guess one last question then, with when you go out and visit schools and colleges and see the schools that are doing the GEBA initiative, what's your favourite aspect?
What's my favourite aspect is probably the question time from the children. You get some weird and wonderful questions, and you know everything in between. And it really is great actually being there, hands on with the kids, listening to them with their ideas, asking, you know, them running their ideas past you, and then you sort of giving them an idea about, well, actually, you know, is there another way of thinking of it and another alternative? But yeah, question time is always a good fun.
Is there any particular question that stuck with you?
Oh dear, lots. They always ask about wages, I can guarantee you that one. Last week was quite an interesting one because they was really interested in the health and safety side, which was a first for me. So I don't really know how that one popped up, but they was really interested in, you know, how health and safety comes into FM.
Interesting. As you know, one of our podcast themes is celebrating the centenary of women winning the right to vote in the UK 100 years ago. So if we could just ask a few questions on that. What are your current thoughts on women in industry, business or education, and how the narrative is perhaps starting to change or not, or gender pay gap, those types of issues?
I think it's very slow still, if I'm honest. The uptake to people acknowledging that there is still a gender pay gap, it's complex, but it's getting better. But I do believe it's still very, very slow. I think facilities management is probably a place where it's picking up quite quickly. You're seeing quite a lot of women managers now coming through. And even with our own business in ABM, we're seeing the divide getting smaller and smaller middle management.
I'm not necessarily asking for any details here, but is there any particular experiences in your career where it's been very difficult because you were a woman? And perhaps what I'm looking for is what piece of advice would you give to listeners in terms of how you overcame that?
Okay. I mean, you know, I've quite often been thought of as the PA going into a meeting.
Right.
I'm there to take notes. So that's, you know, although that has changed over the years. I think for me, it's been able to prove my understanding of the FM world and you know what I can actually bring, and it's probably around my experience is probably the main thing. And sometimes just sitting there quietly and letting them all talk and then actually saying, well, okay, Like, now this is how I feel. Instead of keep trying to butt in, I do try and let them all have their say and then come along with my opinion. But I guess it's about experience, and over the years it's having that experience to be able to know when you need to step in and make your voice heard, and sometimes sitting back and letting them do their talking.
Sad to see. What one piece of advice would you pass on to teachers who are listening, that are working with, you know, 4-year-old girls, 11-year-old girls? Or what piece of advice would you pass on to the next, you know, girls that are listening in terms of moving into FM or, you know, business or whatever field? What's your top piece of advice?
Work hard at school, listen to your teachers, because they will be the people that will be able to give you the best support within career going through, you know, your school time. And anything's possible. If you put your mind to it, if you've got the drive, you know, research things, talk to people, speak to other people within, you know, within the industry, and say, use the support that's out there, reach out to it, because there is a lot of support out there if you go looking for it. So for me, you know, and the way I've brought up my daughters, I'd like to think is, you know, if they've got a career path that they'd like to follow, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's not always the same and it changes, you know, you can go out there and you can do it, and it is possible to, you know, be successful in whatever field you choose to do. So, mm-hmm.
Think of your, you know, going back to your own childhood, you know, needlework, that type of narrative, you think of your own daughters. With women winning the right to vote 100 years ago, where, you know, not that we can predict 100 years' time, but where would you, what would you hope in the future, you know, the dialogue to rest or the type of woman in the workplace to be?
Well, I mean, I'd like to think that, first of all, there wasn't an issue with women taking a career break. I was really lucky, you know. I found a really good firm that, you know, took me on after a career break, and it was a, you know, it was a 10-year career break that I took. Okay. Which is quite substantial. And, you know, I think women are quite nervous about taking that sort of time out and being able to come back into the workplace and being seen as an equal.
And did you face any difficulties in terms of flexible working when you were having a child?
Again, I was really, really lucky, and it would be so nice if you know, industries across the UK took on board that, you know, sometimes it is good to be flexible, and that's with men and women, because, you know, childcare isn't just about women. And I think that's sometimes where we all fall down, is that the responsibility falls on the woman, and, you know, I'd like to think that it's equally on dads as well as mums to so I think it's encouraging employees across the board to try and be a little bit more flexible, you know, look at job shares and you know, working around school hours and bits and pieces, and, you know, helping out with childcare through the school holidays as well, which is always a really big challenge for people. And that doesn't stop, you know, when children go to a senior school either, you know, the children still need some.
It's very interesting, because as a teacher, often, you know, when I'm on my school holidays, it's easier for childcare, but you forget that, you know, I'm now no longer in school. But when you forget the other side, when parents do pick up the kids for the holidays, they still have to work. And it's a real challenge.
It is.
Okay, so I'm going to move on to some quick fire rounds, and I'm going to push you for quick answers, okay?
Okay.
So no hesitation here. So I know what you're working on in terms of your monthly report, but once that's done, what's the next big job?
Okay, so the main job that I'm working on at the moment is within the EV, electric vehicle sector. A lot of the car manufacturers are launching their electric vehicles this year.
Okay.
So I'm supporting them not only in putting in the infrastructure for the electric vehicles, but future-proofing that.
Okay, so yourself, are you electric, diesel, or an unleaded driver?
I'm a hybrid. I'm a plug-in hybrid.
Right, excellent.
I will be going full electric, I can promise you.
Right, fantastic. What book are you reading at the moment?
A Tale of Two Cities.
Okay, great. Can you recall a book you might have read in the past to do with education, perhaps? Or an article?
I love historical fiction books. So, you know, specifically on education, I'm not so sure, but a favourite author is definitely Philippa Gregory, and how she portrays female historical figures. And yes, there is some fiction there, but yeah. She looks for female characters that maybe have sort of not quite so highlighted as their male counterparts. So I do love a Philippa Gregory book.
Right, good. What's one thing you've learnt about yourself in the last week or so? Anything?
Oh, crikey. One thing I've learnt about myself. I don't like the sound of my own voice.
Okay, first thing in the morning, are you a tea or coffee person?
Tea, green tea. Okay. No milk, no sugar.
If you weren't doing the job you were doing today, what would be your dream job?
I would probably be working with something within the British wildlife, whether that's animals or nature in general. So yes,
okay.
I love the wildlife.
Summer holiday plans, where are you going?
I'm going to Devon on Sunday with the dog.
Staycation, excellent. Okay, what biggest career achievement?
There's been a number of achievements over the years, but I suppose the one that stands out is achieving my ILM7. So that was quite challenging and enjoyable as well, actually.
For people that aren't aware of what that is,
that's a leadership and management educational degree type master's. It's a City and Guild, so yeah. It's sort of equivalent.
Brilliant. And last question, who would you recommend I interview next and why?
Okay, I will recommend Stacey Donnelly. She's a contracts manager within ABM, and she's helped out quite a lot with the Jeep scheme as well, so she's very aware of it.
Yeah.
She virtually came to ABM as a school leaver, and she was very driven and ambitious. So we've worked with Stacey over a number of years, going through various qualifications.
Yeah.
And now she's enjoying the benefits of being a successful manager at ABM. Great. So, yeah, Stacey.
Great story. Well, I'll try and get in touch with her.
She'll be ever so grateful.
And finally, where can listeners find out more about Jeep, ABM, maybe yourself if you're on Twitter, I don't know.
Yeah, and I am on Twitter and LinkedIn, all the time on LinkedIn, and obviously off of the abm.co.uk website.
Okay, so, and your Twitter ID?
Now you throw me.
Right, okay, well, I'll dig it out and mention it on the website, so don't worry.
Okay, I could find it for you.
So thanks for your time, Justine. It's been lovely to meet you. I wish you all the success with your apprenticeship schemes and resources, and I'll certainly do my best to get it out there and make sure schools sign up. Thank you for your time.
Appreciate you for giving the opportunities.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To continue the conversation, head over to www.teachertoolkit.co.uk and our social media channels to access all the links and resources mentioned on today's show. Why not share this with your colleagues and give them the gift of time, reduced workload, and increased impact? Until the next time, before you look after your students, look after yourself.